hello and welcome to the podcast, The Load Seeders, for the 27th of December, 2022. I am joined by Harry.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about how Paris looks great this time of year. The quick fix to the nurse strike, and also Redux is absolutely wild, which I think we're going to enjoy
it. I don't know about this last segment. I have no idea what any of it is to do with.
You know what Redux is or not?
No, I don't.
It's a feminist, like, news outlet.
Oh, right? All right. Okay, that's all.
It's like the turf outlet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So we're gonna go through.
We're gonna get some spicy takes.
It's amazing how much further women can go than men in that conversation. Anyway, let's begin with Paris looking great. So Paris looks great. I don't know when it last looked great, but now it looks great again. You know why? Because it's on fire. It's returning to nature. We are the virus. Anyway, I thought I'd just, people who don't know why I went on, over the Christmas period, Paris just erupted in flames for unknown reasons. We'll soon.
Someone lit a match, someone left the oven on, just happens.
I don't know, yeah.
And it was a bakery, like the Fire of London.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys with the baguettes. Sword fighting, and all of a sudden,
and one crazy madman set the baguette on fire, and it just goes from there.
Something like that. We'll get into it. It's actually rather a sad story, but it is what Paris is like these days. We'll start off just with something else, though, being the contemplations on lotuses.com, of course, on Christmas traditions, because of course it is a Christmas tradition for the French to cock everything up, as they always do. But if you want to go find out the Anglo-Saxon ones, go and check that one out. I think he also talks about some of the other ones as well, but do go enjoy. Otherwise, we shall begin with the news. The news started off with, in Paris, a shooting.
Which, good start.
Yeah, not normal start, I suppose.
Wait a second. I spy with my little eye a flag.
Beginning with red.
A very red flag right there.
Yeah, so here's the news. All right, serious face, because serious story for a minute. Paris shooting, 3 dead and several injured in attack. And you'll notice the commie flag. A gunman has opened fire in central Paris, killing 3 people and wounding 3 others. A suspect, age 69, was quickly arrested, and it soon emerged that he had been freed from prison recently. He was asked why he conducted this attack. It seems to be a racist-motivated attack, in this case against Kurds. And so this French outlet, called Le Parisien, asked the dude, why'd you do it? And they say, according to a police source, the suspect reportedly told the police during his arrest that he did not like Kurds. There you are. Also, a year before, he attacked a migrant camp with a saber.
Okay, saber, you're just going old school.
Yeah, I don't quite understand what he was planning, but he was jailed for that.
So William M., I'm assuming he's a Paris native?
Yes, he's that kind of chap. He's also a bit of a loon.
So I can tell. We do not support this kind of behaviour.
Yeah, attacked a migrant camp with a sabre, which was strange, and then was sent to jail, and then was released after about a year, and then immediately was just like, remember those Kurds? I don't like them, and went out and did this attack as well. So there you have it. And you would think, okay, well, white supremacist attacks do happen. Like, I don't know if he's a white supremacist or just like anti-foreigner. There are distinctions to be made there, but whatever. We'll just go with it for now, which is, xenophobic attack. Right. Don't know if it's just that, and if it was just that, the response you would expect would be some flowers, some conversations about this sort of thing, if you were living in normal world. But of course, we live in clown world. So out came the communists to do what they do best. And the thing is, you can see here, the response was to burn down the city for like 2 days.
How will we protect our precious Kurds? Destroy their neighborhoods.
Yeah, except, of course, this is the burning down of Paris by Kurds, who... I don't really understand the logic.
So the Kurds decided to come out and say, see, we're no threat at all.
Yeah, well, by blaming the French police for this, which wasn't their fault,
obviously.
It sounds
as though this man was arrested, though.
Yeah, like, he served his time in jail for the first crime, comes out, commits a second crime, was then arrested, is sent to jail for the rest of his life.
Sounds open and shut to me.
Yeah, you would have thought, but whatever. Paris has witnessed a second day of violent unrest after Friday's deadly attack on the city's Kurdish community. Protesters who gathered on Saturday overturned cars, setting some on fire, and hurled objects at the police. Officers responded by firing tear gas. That's the BBC's version of events. It's a lot worse. The funny thing is, for people who are not familiar with this dichotomy, basically, Paris is usually on fire for some reason or another, or some violent protest, and it's been going on fire now, like 200, 300 years.
Since the French Revolution, really.
Yeah, so I can't even blame the BBC, frankly, for this, which is they're reporting on such things as usually like some stuff happened in Paris, you know. They don't usually go into too many details.
I mean, did you watch the Grand Tour episode where they just kept the recurring joke was that French people kept showing up and just burning stuff down?
Yeah.
Throughout the whole episode.
I mean, this is a routine event, except that, of course, the dichotomy and the situation here is rather strange. You know, like, local guy kills a bunch of Kurdish people, and you think, okay, day of mourning or whatever, as you might expect. But no, instead, you know, full-on riots for 2 days where you burn down police cars and attack the French police, which is not usually what you do.
No, it's awful that this kind of tension has to exist within the city, because back in the day, my family and I used to go on holiday to Paris for New Year's Eve, and I don't think we'll be doing that anymore.
Yeah, a lot of people have noted how this isn't how Paris used to be as well, of course. If we move forward, we'll go to the PKK, because this is the funny intersect here, because of course the French communists want to relay this in purely in terms of race, which is weird, because Anglo-Saxon way of doing things. But whatever. They got slapped down, though, because the Turks turned up to be like, hang on a minute, something's gone wrong. What was the thing that went wrong? The PKK flags at the protests. People who don't know what the PKK is, it's a Kurdish Communist Party. I think it's like the Workers' Party of Kurdistan or whatever in Turkey. They're declared a terrorist organization in Turkey, in France, in all of the EU, in the UK, the United States, etc. Because, well, they kind of are.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah, they
you show up and burn down a city and all of a sudden you're branded a terrorist.
Well, not just that. Like a lot of mines and car bombs and blowing up civilians.
Imagine.
You know, typical separatist things, let's say. Anyway, the quote in here is interesting because Turkey said they expect France to act prudently over the incident and not to allow the banned PKK terrorist organization to advance its sneaky agenda in response to these riots. And the reason for that being that a bunch of the Kurds turned up with PKK flags, which is a crime in France as well.
And then they started burning stuff down.
Yes.
This doesn't seem that sneaky.
No, it's not very sneaky. You are correct about that.
Solid snake does not approve.
No. And again, just like, okay, why are we having all these weird Turkish conflicts in Europe? But whatever. We've got the next one here because you can see there's more in this. This is someone complaining, while slashing migrants with a sword last year, today's Paris gunman declared he was fed up with foreigners. That's a direct quote from him. And went on to kill three. This white supremacist terrorism is largely underreported and underaddressed in Europe. Thing is, this is bull, and I wanted to go through why this bull, because it is actually quite an interesting time of the year, which is the Global Terrorism Index is out. I don't know if you're familiar with the Global Terrorism Index.
I've not looked into it myself.
My favorite document, because it dispels so many myths that people have about such things. This comes out every year and just details, here's all the terrorist attacks,
mm-hmm.
Here's who did them, here's why. And here's where.
Vast majority by American white supremacist terrorist cells, I assume.
Yeah. I mean, it's all Carl Rittenhouse.
I mean, he was notorious. Did you know he crossed state lines?
I did indeed. The thing is, it's not them. If you go to the next image here, just some screenshots I took out to make the point. Here you have the four deadliest terrorist organizations in 2021, going into 2022. No themes whatsoever. We have Al-Shabaab, Islamic State, the Taliban. I can't remember how you pronounce their name, but it ends in Muslim. That one, JNIM there. And then unknown and other terrorist groups, which are...
If only out. I could recognize patterns.
No, I can't recognize patterns either. Anyway, we go to the next one because we have incidents and deaths in the West by ideology. And this is why I'm going over this, because I'm sick of people like that previous account holder who was like, oh my God, white supremacism goes unrelated and unreported in the West. It's such a huge problem. It's like 2 feet in the mud. Get in reality for a minute, lady.
Honestly, I'm looking at this. I'm shocked that there is such a level of honesty coming from these documents, because you would expect whichever organization is doing this terrorist report would probably swing one way or the other. Whereas this just looks like it's trying to actually present objective facts, which shouldn't be shocking.
There is a reason it's shocking. Which is I don't sense any political bias from these reports. They're just like, here's the data. And
because you can see, as soon as it gets to 2015, tiny little uptick, far left violence. 2016, getting there, bam. 2017.
What happened there? Donald Trumperu.
I wonder, and it seems that far right violence just sort of ebbs and flows, wanes, but in the most recent years, it's been going down massively.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, a lot of people got spooked by like, oh my God, far right violence is coming back, but it died very quickly. Far left violence, however, is just consistent. The difference is between both of these is far left violence is very non-lethal because they're crap at it.
I have seen a number of hilarious Twitter videos of people failing to beat white people up.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice that they're crap at it. You know, no one dies, but...
I mean, they're crap at it, but then they get to burn down cities without consequence.
That's the dichotomy. Just a whole side note about terrorism, which is that I remember reading some thread about the guys who took part in the Ukrainian Maidan overthrowing there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the way they put it was just like, well, you can basically do what you want as long as you don't kill anyone in violence, political violence. And
Okay.
As long as the police aren't dying and your protesters are dying, then it's like politically wise, which is horrific. And don't do any of that, obviously. But it's
it seems to apply in the West as well in that case. Just looking at something like Chaz. Chaz was something set up. It destroyed neighborhoods, yada, yada, yada. They let it exist until all of a sudden people started showing up dead.
Like if a terrorist organization such as Far Left Terrorists here want to gain some kind of modicum of support within the legacy media and so forth, that's the tactic, and that's the one they took, because they are less good at killing people.
I would say that 2020 far-left violence is probably being undercounted massively, but...
Yeah, just look at 2021 there, though. It's like, the far-right, what are they?
I thought there was an insurrection in 2021, and what about all of those Patriot Front rallies?
Yeah. We got the weapons of choice as well, just some more data. I know this is taking a bit of a side road to the news in Paris, but just kind of interested in it. There you have it. There's incidents, just a high resolution, far left versus far right. And if you go to the next one here, I think we have the weapons of choice. Far left is usually Molotovs, basically. And those are not very effective at killing people. They're effective at ruining lives. So there's that. Anyway, back to the city of romance, because a lot of people took note of the Christmas in Paris, which was very romantic, I'm sure, such as Dominik Tarzynski, who was like, huh, yeah... Things are going well. For people listening, we're just looking at footage of local Kurds fighting French police. For what exactly?
I love ethnic conflicts just being brought into our cities.
But for what reason? Listen, I'm sorry for a minute, but remember how things have to make sense sometimes, or should? Well, what have the French police done?
Some would have you believe that we need to bring these people in for pure economic efficiency, GDP percentage point growth of up to like... 0.1 to 0.5%, which makes all of this worth it, surely.
The thing to keep in mind, and we'll go for it, I know there are some people already screaming, which is just, think of what the French people have been through in Paris, terrorism-wise.
Back in, wasn't it 2017?
A lot, every year.
Eagles of Death Metal, I think it was.
They still have the police marching in the streets in every tourist location.
Yeah.
For some reason, who knows? Whereas these guys, I mean, yeah, horrible, but, you know, three guys die in a terrorist attack, and this is the response, just open... violence and rioting. Yeah, the next one here, we can see more of that, which is some guy smashing up, if you go on the left video, it's the one I'd like to show, just if you click on it, we don't need the audio, but it's just them smashing up a bus station. If you can click on that one, just to make it bigger, just because it's hilarious in the sense of, like, what are you doing with your lives? Like, they're just smashing up a bus stop because the bus is racist or something.
Maybe they were asked to sit at the back of it.
No.
I doubt it.
No, just local boys.
I think these people, as always with anything like this, these people are angry, they're vandals, they just want to smash stuff, and the ideological veil just gives them an excuse.
Yeah, and there's a lot of PKK flags has been noted, but also if you go to the next one here, we can see the commies turning up. This is the most famous image of, like, it just it's chaos. Come out of it.
Modern Paris, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, Paris having a normal Christmas. Anyway, and the thing is, totally normal, of course, if you go to the next one here. Like, you're totally normal things. Why wouldn't you just do this? David Vance making the point, which is, thank goodness for diversity. Because as much as you can be upset about the terrorist incident, which, yeah, rightfully, it's bad. Shock. I know. But if you go to, let's say, the proportionate response which we have from Europeans to such terrorism, should we take a look at that? Take a look at the horrible things.
Well, I mean, Europeans, I think the proportionate response was, we arrested him, he goes to prison. Sorted.
And what I'm annoyed about in the West is we don't have a serious conversation in the political realm about why, but I'm not upset that we don't go out and start burning down cars, because why? If you go to the next one here, we can see just this is what happened in response to the Reading stabbing, where I was. It was just like, yeah, okay, let's put flowers, one for the loss, guy goes to jail forever. And, something I had to note was I saw one footage of a Kurdish man who was very, very upset and was justifying why he was out destroying things. As you can see there, there's a trans account who's like, support for my Kurdish comrades.
I'm shocked that there isn't a Ukraine flag there.
Bro, ask your Kurdish comrades what they think of those two flags in your profile. Anyway, but he's arguing here. There's some subtitles where he's just explaining, well, in 10 years in Paris, 6 Kurds have been killed by French people. In racist attacks against us. A whole 6 Kurdish people.
Oh my goodness.
I can't believe such horrible things happen in Paris. And if you go to the next link, please. I don't know who's going to tell him. Not me. Presumably no one in his house. No one in his family knows.
no one within about a 6 feet radius of him. No. Within arm's length, I wouldn't tell him.
I mean, unless he's been there for, what, like 2 years? I mean, even then, there's been several attacks. I mean, I don't know what to say.
No, like, this is just the West's response to these things, sadly. Similar things happen in Manchester. Manchester, the very next day, goes, oh, don't look back in anger. We must forgive and forget.
That's not good enough. Because it's like, no, we need to have a conversation about this. The correct response is not to burn down all of Manchester. I don't think Manchester police...
Well, I'm glad that people didn't all of a sudden just decide to burn down Manchester in response to the bombings.
Yeah, that would be pretty weird as well.
It would be very strange. And, it's more of a Liverpool thing, maybe.
Perhaps. But the thing is as well, it's just like, well, I just... Yeah, okay. And I guess we'll see what the response is to the different tactics. But whatever. Just, sorry, can't get over it. Can't get over it. It's just like a whole six people. If you go back, I just, like, he's so indignant. Like, he's so angry, just like, I'm in the right here because six people have been killed in terrorist attacks. If you scroll down, just the subtitles, it's like, you know, we're doing...
for you so that you can sleep quiet at home, but you could protect us here 2 times in 10 years, 3-3, it's not normal.
We're angry, it's not normal.
People got murdered in the city. I'm sorry, it's awful.
Like, the 3-3 there is 3 people were killed 10 years ago and 3 people were killed this year.
Oh, it's a systematic oppression.
Unbelievable how just crime-ridden Paris is for Kurdish people and no one else. Anyway, we'll move forward. We'll go to another one here because the thing about the PKK flags is not untrue either. See David reporting here that not only were there a lot of PKK flags and supporters in the riots, they were also joined by Antifa, which is not new. If you go to the next one here, I can confirm that because there are a load of Antifa accounts being like, hey, this is great. This is fantastic. I actually see Rita posting here. That's a great point.
That's such a petty thing to do. They're literally just kicking down the tiny little fence post around a tree.
You can see the Antifa and Kurdish flags in the background as well. People who are...
Yeah. I mean, what is the point of such violence other than for the sake of itself?
Then, you know, our community's been attacked. I mean, this is a fundamental mindset difference between what I'm going to, again, I know this is lazy, but I'm going to do it, which is the East versus the West thing that I thought about a lot. Like, the West as a concept, like, I don't know, let's say the French, the English, the Americans, the Canadians, this part, right? Whenever something happens, we're far less tribal in our response. And that can't be said, and this isn't a dig either, that can't be said of, like, Serbians or Turks or Russians, right? Like, they're far more tribal in the response of, like, you do something bad to us, we're going to cause some bad things.
Yeah, like, it's the attitude of an attack on one of us is an attack on all of us.
Yeah.
Whereas in the West, and I would say this is a massive weakness we have, we don't have that because it's so sort of individualistic in its conception. Attack on him is just an attack on him, who cares, even if the person who attacked him hates me as well because he perceives me as part of the same group.
Again, I'm not even saying it's a good or bad thing. There are pluses and minuses to both, obviously, about the tribal mindset difference, but it certainly is the case the West doesn't have it, that's for sure. If you go to the next one here, we can see, just to mention as well, yeah, supporting the PKK is a crime, a proper crime, a terrorist crime, in case you're wondering, as well. Even in France.
It seems like it didn't really do much, seeing as how many of them are out on the streets in Paris right now.
No, I'm just mentioning UK law here, because it's the easiest to hand, which is, quote, to invite support for a proscribed organisation, the support invited need not be material support, but can even be moral support. That's a crime. And if we go to the legislation itself, it's even more explicit.
Is this just a warning to any Kurdish communists who might be fans of the channel watching
now?
No. Be careful, lads.
Just if you see it, I mean, do your duty. If a person commits an offence, if the person expresses an opinion or belief that is supportive of a proscribed organisation, and in doing so recklessly as to whether the person or whom the expression is directed will be encouraged to support proscribed organisation. That's how we live. That's the law here. It's just a description of things as they are, which it's not just us either. If you got the next one, just list here. Like, it's across much of the world, the entire West, including Turkey as well, which is the reasons for all that. And if you go to the last one here, we can see a Turkish MP who came out and was just like, this is all just Turkish terrorists, no sympathy, don't care, which is like, oh God. Like, I can't imagine a French MP responding this way.
No.
I don't think they would be allowed to as well.
Well, that would be the thing, wouldn't it? Because the laws would get applied asymmetrically.
Yeah, I imagine the conversation in French political circles is like, well, we best be on like our most
best
understanding behavior of the violence instead of being like, quit that. Like, either you're part of the West or you're not.
Yeah, it is nice that the police are fighting back at least.
Yeah, for French police are used to having a scuffle,
yeah,
to say the least. Anyway, it just says in here, it's quite straightforward as well. It's just like, yeah, there are a bunch of terrorists, don't care. We told those who remain silent about Turkey's fight against terrorism. Terrorism is like a boomerang. One day it'll return and hit you. The snake you feed in your bosom will bite you one day. Just like, okay.
I like the poetic language, not going to lie.
Yeah, that's just his response. Anyway, last thing to mention is about the Antifa stuff as well, which is true, just for people who are unaware. I think this is something that needs to be wider known. As you can see there, just Antifa accounts supporting the people out there committing violence and also saying, well, they're Turkish comrades because they're all a bunch of commies. Not my favorite. And that's not a new thing either. This is entirely run-of-the-mill. And if you go to the last one here, this has just happened. This happened in Reading. Michael was there. You remember this. This is a pub in Reading once upon a time that had been taken over by Turkish Antifa communists whilst I was living there.
How did they manage to get hold of it? Was it the landlord or something?
No, the thing was just abandoned because I think they were trying to sell it. And these scumbags,
communist squatters.
Yeah, these scumbags just broke in, ruined the place. Don't know if you can pause the audio and play. I don't know if I have some other video of the inside there when we went together. But inside, you can see they like scrawled their crappy graffiti all over the damn thing. It's just a pain in the ass. But anyway, it's not new, is my point, of no. Antifa and communist Kurds.
Very, very far from new.
Holding hands. But either way, there's Paris for you, which is great. It's fantastic. I'm sure people will love it if you want to go there this time of year. Don't. Paris isn't Paris anymore, as a great man once said.
No.
Move on.
All right, yeah, let's move on and talk about that time of the year. Yes, it is that time of the year. It's that time of the year where the NHS is absolutely melting down, which is something that happens literally every single year, and why somebody like Rory can write this excellent article from, I think it was republished earlier this year in March, but it was originally published back in July 26th, 2021, and it will remain relevant forever. For as long as the NHS is still around, where he just labelled it, despite its virtues, it's time to let the NHS die, because the NHS is, as far as I'm concerned, not fit for purpose, especially because of the fact that, just reasonably speaking, every single Christmas, every single winter time, we get nothing but doom and gloom, crisis this, crisis that. It's going to be massively disruptive. The NHS won't be able to work properly. Here's what you should do to mitigate for the fact that the NHS isn't going to work properly. Every single year.
Also, I'm so sick of my life being dictated by the needs of the NHS.
Oh, it is. We've got the cult of the NHS. It's almost like kind of this metaphysical figure of worship.
That's 100% true. But the deeper thing that I hate is like any policy proposal has to be put through the lens of, will this cost the NHS more money? Like the sugar tax we have in this country. Like, or the regulations of whatever or whatever else. It's always about, yeah, but what about the NHS?
Like, yeah, well, the secret is that everything is designed to cost the NHS more money so that then they can fund the NHS more. Because if it costs the NHS more money, then the NHS can say we're still underfunded.
Well, the best thing I do like is the debate about tobacco, though. Because if you increase tobacco usage, it means it doesn't cost the NHS more money later in life.
That's a good point. We need to start allowing smoking indoors again, boys. Let's get to it. We need to save the NHS. Get smoking.
I don't endorse that, but it's just a funny debate politicians have sometimes.
Yeah, but I mean, reasonably speaking, the NHS as a service is not set up to just be the NHS and something that you can worship as some metaphysical deity. The NHS, like all other things in life, should be set up to benefit people, real human beings. And I don't know when the last time that you went to a NHS hospital or anything was. Last time I went was an absolute S show. Last time I went, it was like 4 or 5 hours waiting in the A&E emergency room on a Saturday night. And I know that Saturday nights are going to be more busy than usual. But people were just sat around suffering while staff, nurses, people just doing the administration were just sat around on the phones, not doing anything, just waiting for it to be their turn to do something, even though there was plenty that they could already be doing. It's just not fit for purpose, as far as I can tell. And it's even more so now that the nurses' strikes have been going on, which is what I'm going to be talking about today. But just to point out, as I've mentioned, every single year we get something about the NHS being destroyed. This is from 2018, and even in this headline...
I actually thought it was from today.
it reads like something from today, but this headline, NHS crisis, is already worse than last year, and that's from 2018, so how bad was 2017? I don't know, but 2018 was worse.
We've got 1 year to save the NHS.
Yeah, 1 year to save the NHS in perpetuity, and then the next article I got along, another Daily Mail one, 2019, 19th of December 2019, NHS winter crisis. We always have these winter crises because people are in homes that struggle to heat sometimes, people are in the cold, people are suffering more from seasonal illnesses. There's plenty of stuff that goes on, and the NHS just isn't built. It's not built to sustain it. It's not built to be able to handle these sorts of things. I don't need to go over 2020 and 2021 and the absolute fiasco that was the NHS.
Really? Was it in crisis that year?
I feel like there was some kind of prolonged crisis, pandemic maybe, that was going on. I know that some people got brain rot and decided to start standing on their rooftops banging pots and pans, but I assume that was just completely unrelated. Yeah, it's just absolute nonsense.
Kind of Moloch.
Yeah, you're just absolutely right that our entire lives are basically structured around the NHS in the UK.
I tell you, man, like, watch Question Time, like, watch an episode of that, and at some point someone will say, yes, but what about the NHS in relation to something completely unrelated? I don't know, legalizing bungee jumping to certain heights or some crap minor
thing.
But how
will this affect the NHS?
Every time.
Well, it might save them money if the bungees fail.
Oh, well, it's a good thing.
Yeah, there you go. So, sorted. I mean, some of the people in the UK parliamentary system would probably promote some absolutely ridiculous things if it was thought it could save the NHS money, such as in the same way that Canada's public health system is encouraging just kill yourself as a method of saving the health system money over there. And I don't think, personally, if anything like that got introduced over here, I don't think our politicians could resist taking the same route that Canada has.
No, I don't think they would.
Is it out of the realm of possibility? Can you imagine Rishi Sunak smiling with his android robotic smile directly into the camera, directly into your soul, and just saying, this year, for the NHS, kill yourself.
Invest in rope.
It's just like... I can see that happening. But one of the big things that's been going on is the strikes that have been going on across all these different industries, where we've got the nurses striking, we've got rail staff striking, civil servants striking. Civil servants striking, surely a good thing. The country probably runs better when they are. Bus drivers striking, postal workers. Everybody is striking. Everybody is striking because everybody needs more money, because the cost of everything is going up due to COVID and terrible fiscal policies that were promoted during those. There were no words that the maternity services and A&E patients were among those who won't be going on strike, because it would be far too catastrophic for them to go on strike. But there's been a lot of debate about this. I missed seeing the entire thing, but I know Peter Hitchin showed up on, was it Question Time recently? Alongside Jacob Rees-Mogg, and got into an argument with one of the people from the nurses' union talking about the strikes, where Peter Hitchin said they shouldn't strike. That doesn't mean that they shouldn't get a pay rise. They're more than deserving of a pay rise. Because in theory, I'm not against the idea of strikes. In fact, I think that there's an easy solution for these strikes, because if nurses pay, nurses and doctors are very important. Generally,
well, do you want that staff? If so, it costs this much. I'm not willing to pay that when you don't get it.
Yeah, you don't get it. I'm not against...
It's like buying biscuits. It's not.
I'm not going to... I think... I understand why a lot of people are against strikes and unions, because they can turn into a massive racket where they're just led by these cults of personalities, these people who just want to push it as far as possible for their own gain, publicity. But in theory, the strikes are not something I disavow. Reasonably speaking, if these people are outside of the realm where they're getting paid enough to survive, especially over winter with the cost of living and everything, with inflation being what it is, I'm not entirely against it, because it's the government's fault, reasonably speaking, because the government could do some things with the NHS to make it so they can afford to raise the pay of these people. Because we may have covered it before. Callum, I don't know if this is something you might be familiar with. We might have covered it before, but the NHS wastes a lot of money.
Does it?
I know. This might blow your mind.
Is there some kind of ideology they're wasting money on?
There actually might be. And even beyond the ideology, there's a lot of stuff that just goes on where the NHS is just seemingly purposefully inefficient. But one of the reasons that someone like Peter Hitchens would say that the nurses should get paid more but shouldn't go on strike is obviously because it can be massively disruptive and massively painful to people who need services at the NHS hospitals and who can't get them. You know, people could die. But they say, yeah, sick babies as well as cancer and dialysis patients will be among those protected from the action. So there are certain elements of this that where it won't be going. And we've already had plenty of these strikes, but they will be going on into January as well. The nurses are calling for a rise in pay of 5% above inflation, as well as better working conditions amid a huge shortfall in nursing staff across the country. And this is a squeeze that we're all feeling right now. The inflation that's been going on, people's heating bills going up.
They want a pay rise 5% above inflation.
Yeah.
I just looked it up just to make sure I was right. But since April 2020, so before all the lockdowns, so the inflating of the currency supply, we've now had 22.3% inflation.
Is that in real terms or in just in, what is it, the price index?
I'm using RPI just because it's inflation calculator. But then if they want 5% above that, then yikes.
I mean, that's a big pay rise, but I mean, the government's got no one to blame for the inflation but itself, really.
Yeah, the 22.3% is absolutely the government's fault.
Okay, government, you want inflation, you also want an NHS, you're going to have to make some sacrifices on your woke agenda. That's what you got to do. I mean, I know you guys like to pretend to be all performatively anti-woke, but you constantly say that you're going to strip the NHS of all of these woke non-jobs and you don't do it. But so, like I mentioned, there's more strikes to come from the...
I'll fire a million nurses before I let the woke agenda die.
Yep, that's right. We need to protect our poor, poor Browns. But the more strikes are coming on the 18th and 19th of January with the nurses. It's going to be across the whole country. And I looked into it and there's around 100,000 nurses are planning to strike. And I looked into it. And current numbers of nurses and equivalent are around, I think, 320,000 across the country. So it's around one whole third of the nurse staff striking, which is going to cause trouble. It will cause trouble. I've not been to the NHS or the hospital recently, but if you out there watching this have been to the hospital recently and noticed some problems with the service or anything going wrong, you know, leave it in the comments. I'd be interested in hearing these stories because it's nice to hear the, well, it's not nice, but it's important to hear the firsthand experiences of this sort of stuff. But beyond the nurses' strikes, there have been some amusing consequences of some of the other strikes that have been going on, such as the strikes been going on at the border force with the airports, which have supposedly been running better than usual because the army decided to jump in and suddenly everything went much smoother, where passengers praised the army personnel standing in the UK airports, with some saying it's the quickest they've gone through the gates in years. I'm getting a flight in a week or two. I'm kind of hoping the strikes are still on. That would be nice. That would be nice. I just want to get in and out. Nobody wants to spend 5 hours at the airport going through baggage handling and taking off your shoes. We just want to get onto the plane. It's all we need. So if the army, go back up, Michael.
I do love this.
If this friendly gentleman, if this absolute Chad right here, who even has a classic British mustache.
I'm right imagining there. His accent's like Bronson for some reason.
I can see it as well.
Have you got a bum, little boy? No. Well, then on your way.
That's right.
Enjoy Paris.
We need Tom Hardy for a biopic of this man 20 years from now. That's right. But yeah, if this gentleman and other men like him can help me get through through the airport as quickly as possible, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. And doesn't it just tell you the absolute rubbish staff that a lot of these places have, that they all strike and things get better?
That is hilarious. That is a massive backfire in your striking tactic.
It really is, where the airports are probably just sort of like, how much to borrow some of these soldiers? What's the rent on them? But the travellers were warned to brace themselves for delays amid fears of the walkout of 1,000 staff working in passport booths could lead to long queues, people being held on planes, and late departures. But the military personnel trained to check passports appeared to have prevented them. So all those worries gone. So once again, with the nurses and stuff like that, yeah, you've got specialised skills that you need to be able to do so that you can do your job. With people like this...
Is he a wrong'un?
Yeah. that's the one question you get right now. They give you a look up and down. They give you your ocular pat down.
You're to additional security, son.
I wonder what the qualifiers for those would be. Maybe we shouldn't guess.
I love the idea that the guy who, you know, Bronson, the character from the movie, just being security, like it's just him. No one else.
It's just him, no one else. They don't need anybody else. The man's mental.
Shut your mouth! Sorry.
All right, Callum, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You've seen Bronson, right?
I actually haven't.
Although,
when I was in university living in Salford, I used to walk past the cafe most days that he owns that's in Salford, and it's just, the sign's great. It's just a big cartoon picture of his face, like...
<it's>, utter lunatic. Great.
He is, but he seems very entertaining. But yeah, so a co-bureau chief for international news agency Reuters from Spain wrote on Twitter shortly before 10 a.m., just flown into Gatwick from Madrid. Military manning border, absolutely no queues, quicker than usual, and service from a naval rating with a beaming smile. That just sounds nice. That, once again, I really hope these gents are at the airport when I get a flight soon, because that just sounds much nicer. But back onto the NHS. So some of the negotiations haven't been going great between the government and the union chiefs trying to negotiate for more pay. So it seems that the government has offered them a annual pay rise of £1,400, and that's the pay offer for 2022 to 23 that they've made for the staff, except for doctors and dentists, which the unions aren't happy with, because that's not in line with what they're asking for. That's not in line with inflation. I think that from figures that I've seen, the offers that they've been given are closer to about, it's still basically a real terms pay decrease for them. It's not going in line with inflation. It's still, what, like 2.3% below what they would need for it to even match inflation. So they're still worse off than they were before. And the health union said that the hardening of Rishi Sunak and Steve Barclay's positions this week, they were talking about it, and they said, the Prime Minister said it was too late in the financial year to revisit the £1,400 award that provoked such anger, while Barclay, the health secretary, who has refused to negotiate overpay, infuriated ambulance workers by claiming their stoppage this week could cost lives. That's true. It could, but also, it's also kind of your fault if it's your fault that they're striking in the first place. There's a lot of blame to be going around here. And from one union official, they said, next time it'll be harder for the NHS to operate on strike days. We have to make it more difficult, because if we don't cause difficulty, what's the point? So this kind of brings up the ethics of the whole situation, because they are actively trying to make it more difficult for the NHS to do what they need to do to help people and save lives, potentially. What's that smirk for?
I've looked up a Bronson clip to show you later, and it's just funny.
Okay.
The account that uploaded the clip as well is called Cock and Balls 123, which is just who picks that as their name? Sorry, completely derailing.
Staying on topic as usual. We're known for our great professionalism, but hey, it is just after Christmas. Most of us are still sobering up.
Watch your YouTube channel. I want to subscribe. Oh no,
Cock and Balls 123. I don't know why they turned into a Devonshire pirate.
Anyway,
but yeah, what I wanted to talk about was the rather serious subject, Callum, before you rudely derailed me, of the ethics of this whole thing. The ethics of Cock and Balls 123.
I'm sorry.
No, the ethics of these people, I understand that they need the pay, and I understand, the problem is, I kind of agree with the Peter Hitchens point of these people shouldn't strike because it's irresponsible, it's dangerous, it's endangering people's lives because people rely on them for the health services. But at the same time, I don't understand how else they would be able to negotiate the pay if they need it that much. Okay.
It's not funny. Funny, but I've lost it.
Shall we just take a moment, take a deep breath? Okay. Oh, fucking hell. All right.
It's not funny. I'm laughing at the situation now.
You're making me laugh. Michael, do something. Michael, have we got some, like, spray for cats or something?
All right. It's calm. I'm calm. All right. Serious.
Okay, Michael's shrugging his shoulders.
People losing their jobs.
Sorry. God's sake. Oh god, podcast gone wild. Alright. Okay, we're gonna take a moment to de-stress. Everybody take a deep breath in.
Alright, back to the strikes.
Back to the strikes. Now the question I wanted to ask you, okay, was Peter Hitchens' point that they shouldn't strike because it's irresponsible and could be dangerous, could endanger people's lives. I agree, but at the same time, how are these people, these nurses, going to get a pay rise without taking action like this? Can you think of anything like that? Because I do think it's a difficult question.
If they didn't work for the government, then they could actually negotiate, because they'd be like, well, my labor is worth this.
Yes.
You have money. Do you want to give me that money? No, then I won't work for you. Well, you? Okay, I won't work for you.
But if there was some form of competitive industries being able to play off of one another.
Because they work for the state, I mean, bad luck. It's that simple.
The NHS just needs complete reforming from the ground up. And on that point, if we go to the next one, we can see even beyond the obvious woke agenda that the NHS has been pushing, there is just plenty of wasted money and wasted time and wasted bureaucracy. Oh, for God's sake, Callum, I thought we were past this. Oh my god, he's got a snort out of him and all.
Yeah, that was wrong with me.
I've never seen him like this. Normally he's on his best behaviour.
We're going on strike this.
Callum's on strike, everybody. We're sick of this.
Alright, I gotta turn off the chat. I'll read in the chat. The chat was funny.
Alright, okay. Calm.
Sorry.
Calm down. On the woke agenda that the NHS is wasting money on, recent news came out from the Daily Mail yesterday. Alright. Okay, we good? We good? Okay. Where it came out that the NHS bosses want interview panels to justify why they'd hired white people over candidates from ethnic minorities. So apparently this was happening at the Royal Free in North London. Interview panels had to write to chief executives explaining their decision, where even the staff having to do this understood. For God's sake, man.
I don't know what's wrong with me. It's not funny. It's not funny. I know.
So you've got into the loop. You've got into the cycle. It's happened to me before. I'll just carry on.
Oh god, I wish we pre-recorded this instead of going live.
Yeah. So instead of the even the frustrated staff apparently have been calling it a tick box exercise, which makes perfect sense. So the NHS was still offering more than £1 million worth of woke non-jobs in hospitals and trusts, even though the government has said that what they're going to be doing, I'm going to ignore that, even though the government has said that what they would be doing is trying to get rid of these, so they just don't. They don't have the political will to do it, or it gets money in their pockets or votes or something. I couldn't say exactly what.
They actually have to sit and explain, why have you got a whitey?
Basically,
someone has to sit with a report, well, I have reasons.
Yep. That's the only thing. It must be because white supremacy. Yeah. That's the only reason it could be. So it's been in place at the Royal Free NHS Foundation Trust since July 2018 for staff in senior positions. And even though I disagree with it, I could see from an affirmative action representation angle why they would be like, oh, we need you to explain why you haven't hired more black people to senior staff, in the same way that it's like, oh, we need more black people in adverts, even though they're massively overrepresented. But now it's also just expanded to any role within that particular trust.
You literally have a white person you've done wrong.
Yeah, basically. It's ridiculous. If a white candidate is chosen, the panel chairman must write a report explaining why they were more suitable for the role. And guess what? They don't have to do that if you hire a brownie. Hire a brownie, that's just like straight away, but hire a whitey. Must be some ulterior motive.
So you remember all that talk about systemic racism from the NHS? I mean, like, I found it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is there.
I just find it hilarious, the idea that, what are they expecting? They go into the person, the hiring, the interview panel. They look around and they just like start knocking on the walls, and they find a secret panel. They open it up and it's just clan hoods. what are they expecting? What do they think? And the report also says that failure to send off these reports explaining why they hired whitey, sees them named and shamed in the Trust's monthly workforce race equality progress report. Here's an idea for how to save some money. Get rid of that. Get rid of that. The Workforce Race Equality Progress Report. Scrap it. I don't think anybody needs it. When I'm there, you know, in a hospital bed, about to go under for an operation, I'm not thinking, bloody hell, but how did these guys score on the Workforce Race Equality Progress Report? I don't know if I can. Halfway through my surgery, I'll just have to sit up and say, sorry, lads, I can't be worked on by white supremacists. No, thank you.
Can't make a lot of the jokes in my mind right now.
All right, okay, that's all right then. And then even beyond all the wokery and all the nonsense that we've covered time and time and time again, there's even just stuff like this, which is just a case of obvious corrupt bureaucracy, where agencies are sucking the NHS dry, according to this headline, middlemen charging £500 million a year to provide locum nurses and doctors. One group of staff were even given a free trip to the Caribbean, which doesn't seem like the best use of monetary resources to me. So the recruitment firms, so these are the agencies, were boasting record profits. It came as the NHS faced shortfalls of 12,000 hospital doctors, and the NHS England spent £3 billion of its total £136 billion budget on agency staff. And a lot of that, it seems about 20% or so of that £3 billion would have been going as agency fees to the recruiters themselves. We are in the wrong business, my friend. Whenever we look into anything like this, I just think how much richer I could be sitting on a beach in the Caribbean, sipping on a martini, if I was just going with this whole agenda. It's such a good moneymaker.
I don't think you even have to be in country to do that. Like, you could be sat on a beach and just adding WhatsApp chats, like, there connecting people.
Like, literally, you just need some kind of internet infrastructure and you can be anywhere in the world as long as... I mean, Elon Musk's... What is it? Space Link or whatever it's called? So you can get...
I know a guy in Afghanistan who literally does that.
There you go!
Because he gets paid by Americans. Like, he's wintered.
I mean, I don't know why you would rather spend the time in Afghanistan rather than the Caribbean. But
he's
again,
Afghan, so...
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, you took a holiday there, so...
Well, you know, sunny.
Yeah. I suppose so. Worked on your tan.
Yeah, there you are.
You got some cultural enrichment. There you go. And one director alone from these firms pocketed more than £500,000 for it. And the Mail did an audit examining the accounts of 10 leading agencies. And they said they keep around 20% of the sum they charge to the health service after covering the wages of the locum staff. That equated last year to £600 million that could have been used for training. And they've got some examples of the overpriced agency fees in this article. So a job offered by ID Medical... offered £40 an hour for a radiologist, a per annum salary of £83,000. But a normal NHS radiology job advertised in Stevenage, Hertfordshire, offered a salary of between £33,000 to £40,000. So that's a massive inflation right there. A GP role in East London with National Locums offered £950 for an on-call shift that would equate to about £247,000 a year. An NHS GP usually earns between about £65,000 and £98,000 per year. So they're paying these agencies massively inflated amounts of money, which is mainly 20% or so going to the heads of these agencies and the managers, and also screwing over, it seems, a lot of the nurses who just want a bit more pay while they're spending millions and millions of pounds. I mean, you tried to look into it. Didn't you do the Freedom of Information request just to see how much the government is? Was it on the government in general or the NHS was spending on equality?
I wrote to the Treasury saying, how much do you spend on individuals who have diversity and inclusion in their titles? And they just wrote back saying, no, we're not releasing that.
It's probably because it's an eye-watering amount of money.
Yeah, so I wrote for an internal review and then it got back today, this morning, just before we started, where they went, no.
There you go.
Thanks.
Yeah, we were trying to do our journalistic duty, but we just got told no.
Yeah,
trying to be journalists? Government says no. So yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. We did get some insider info that I'm not going to attribute to anyone, saying that the NHS, from a financial advisor for the NHS, saying that they basically are never allowed to stop complaining about underfunding for the NHS, because then departments, if they stop doing that, departments will actually stop getting as much funding as they do. They might get something more reasonable for what they should be paying, which might mean that they have to cut. But then all of that extra funding tends to just go straight to the management anyway. So it's just a racket. It's just a racket. And this is nothing that we haven't covered before. Like, we've covered it before in segments like this next one, where the woke NHS tax, where I think it was you and Leo were talking about that blog, Dear White People of the UK. Someone got paid to do that.
Yeah, number five, be uncomfortable.
Aishneen Benjamin, Equality, Diversity and Inclusion Lead at Nursing and Midwifery Council. There you go. If you want to...
Tagline, for white people.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, once again, my quick fix solution to the nurses' strike, if we want to be able to pay these nurses what they're worth, what they should be paid, the money that will keep them working their jobs without striking, quick fix solution, fire these people, do away with Equality, Diversity and Inclusion in all of these departments, and just get on with helping people, for the love of God. All right, on the next one.
I'm so embarrassed about derailing that.
I will try my hardest not to derail this one. Although, you have made some allusions that this might be a funny segment anyway.
Well, to be honest, this is awful.
Awful.
I think it'd be pretty hard to laugh.
All right, okay. Okay. Well, you know, I can laugh at some pretty horrible things, so we'll see. This might be a challenge.
All right, well, let's...
You can hear the fear in his voice.
Let's go. So Redux is a feminist outlet, which I have occasionally hopped into because they have some amazing stories on occasion. And I thought we'd just go through how wild their outlets are and the stories they report on. And many of them don't even seem true at the face of it. Like, how on earth is that true? And then you read, oh, no. Like, this is a court deposition, or this is something from the Department of Justice has been released that this has happened. And it very much reads like Frank Decotta's The Tragedy of Liberation, a premium book on lowseas.com. Smooth. Anyway, go and check that out, in which it's basically just a list of terrible, terrible, terrible ideas, and then the terrible, terrible, terrible results.
And this is the first in the trilogy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then you did the Mao's Great Famine, which was just another list of horrible things happening. And then we did the Cultural Revolution, which was also just a list of horrible things happened. A lot of horrible things happened in China.
But they didn't happen for no reason. Like, some idiot came along and was like, hello, my big brain thinks we should do this. And everyone went, yeah, let's do that. And he was like, okay.
Yeah, you were right. It's capitalism's fault.
Yeah, anyway. So in the West, we also have some big brain dumb ideas, which is that men can become women, because trust me. And also, if you are part of the LGBTQIK alphabet, you're not a human being. You're an angel. You're beautiful. You are never doing anything wrong ever. And of course, this is nonsense. Like, human beings are human beings. They're good and bad ones. And of course, there are disproportionalities and everything else that you can check out.
That's not very inclusive of you.
Social studies class. But the thing is, this is not what is modern parlance. Modern parlance is that if you belong to the alphabet, you're an angel. You never do anything wrong. And this, of course, includes people who say they're a woman or a man, when the opposite.
And then do very naughty things if they're a woman or a man. At which point, it's systematic oppression that forced them to do naughty things.
Yeah, and this is why I quite like Redux, as you can see here. Pro-woman, pro-child safeguarding, anti-BS. Very feminist outlet.
I like that you have to specify that now. Yes, I'm pro-women.
Well, they're a feminist outlet, but they're a TERF feminist outlet. And that's the thing about their stories. It's the kind of stories that aren't reported in legacy media, because why would they? They go against such common parlance. And we'll start off with some of them, which they're all horrific, so welcome. We'll start off with this one. Rapist quietly transferred to Washington Women's Prison. Why not? We have the woman there.
Brilliant.
The
very feminine jawline.
The man, convicted of a horrific sexual abuse of a young girl, has been quietly transferred to a correctional facility for women in Washington State, and is reportedly boasting to female inmates that he identifies as a man. Cool.
Well, that, once again, that seems pretty open and shut. Just kick him out of that prison.
Look, taking the piss. This is Brett David Sonia over here. Sonia had first initiated contact with a child in Dover, New Hampshire, where he began sexually abusing the girl and photographing her in lewd acts, but would later take the victim across state lines to Los Angeles, California, where he would continue to sexually exploit her. In 2005, he was convicted of a combined 20 counts of committing a lewd act upon a child and possessing child pornography in Los Angeles County. The next year, he was convicted in Stratford County, New Hampshire, on charges of repeatedly raping the young girl and photographing the assaults. Many of the crime's details were considered so graphic, they were deemed not fit for print in the court documents.
Yeah, I don't think I can laugh at this.
Yeah, this is going to be...
Yeah, you were right. This is pretty horrible.
It's going to be bad. Sonia was ultimately handed sentences in both California and New Hampshire, with the latter taking a lead in his prison term. After a minimum of 22.5 years served towards New Hampshire's sentence, which maxes out in 2047, a Los Angeles County court will then decide whether or not he should serve additional time in California. As part of the Interstate Corrections Compact, however, Sonia was sent to Washington to serve a portion of his sentence in 2016, 1 year after becoming out and identifying as transgender.
There it is. It's so quick and easy for these people, isn't it? And do you think the people in charge of this... Well, no, absolutely, they do realise what it is that they're doing. I just don't think these people care.
The question in the olden days, as in, like, 5 years ago, would have been, do you have the brass balls to be like, no? No, okay, get on the bus, shut up, not going to deal with it. The thing is now, it's understandable from the management perspective, which is that no one raises a word because they know that's their job, because absolute grip ideology has on society.
From what I can tell from what was written there, at first he was still put, after coming out as transgender in 2016, he was still kept in male prisons.
Indeed.
And transferred between them. And it's only just recently that they went, you know what, actually, we've not been fair to you. We need to think of the feelings of the poor paedophile.
Indeed.
And take you to the women's prison where I'm sure you'll do no harm whatsoever.
The ICC allows states to share correctional resources, as if there's a resource for this, and move inmates who cross border facilities which may be better suited to their needs. Sonia was moved between multiple male facilities in Washington and left a trail of complaints regarding to not being given adequate care to gender-affirming care, such as women's underwear and laser hair removal.
Okay, this is... I don't know why prisons should be expected to cater to people's fetishes.
You're a sex offender. I don't care what you have to say about sexual matters.
Yeah, who cares? Sorry, we're not giving you women's underwear to sniff.
Part of Sonia's complaint was that he had been placed in a cell with predatory male inmates, such as himself.
Yeah, he would know what a predatory male is.
Sonia demanded for a transfer, appeals to have been granted, with female inmates in Washington Correctional Facility for Women reported that Sonia is now at their facility. Quote from a family member of one of the inmates, "He was saying he's both. He identifies as a man sometimes and a woman sometimes," Sean explains. "I know he looks like a regular middle-aged man with glasses. My relative says he doesn't look trans at all. His mannerisms are manly, no makeup, nothing to suggest he's trans." Then another individual approached my relative and informed her that Sonia is identifying as a man. She also said that at least one woman is terrified and uses the buddy system to visit the bathroom and always brings a friend. Who can guess why this is happening?
Well, because he's a threatening male presence in a women's prison.
Yeah. Yeah. And at any other time in human history, it would have been like, no.
Yeah.
Get back in your cell.
And that, I mean, that just shows the where we are right now. Even in previous eras, we were still civilized enough to say don't mix the male and female prison populations. Like, even if they're all horrible people, that's just a terrible idea.
Like, are you a moron?
Yeah. I know that there are some like really high max prisons in the US that do have mixed populations, but generally they're sort of kept away from each other, as far as I'm aware. Yeah. Could please correct me if I'm talking out my ass here.
But we'll go forward. I mean, this is the point I'm trying to make. It's not about just one story here. It's the things Redux report on, which is wild. And you have the next one here. This is, as they write, disturbing footage out of the University of Brasilia shows a trans-identified male with a beard screaming at a female student who questioned his presence in the women's washroom. This is a biological man with a beard who's saying he's a woman, so he's allowed in the women's washroom.
Perhaps he's just a magnificent bearded lady.
Yeah, you can see an image there. But if we go to the next link, you can see it in more detail. That's the chap. Very feminine.
Do you know what's the name? Alok Tura, whatever the name is. There was another person, Alok Mine, whatever the name is. Some person, the freak who came out and said that little girls can be kinky.
That does actually sound like a freak.
Yeah, he looks a lot like this guy. These sorts of people who think that if I just dress up in a literal dress and put a bit of makeup on, I can keep my beard, I can keep my hairy arms. This Alok person also goes around with a big hairy chest on display at all times.
And saying kids can be kinky.
Saying little girls can be kinky. But,
that's gross.
But he gets a free pass because, you know, he identifies as one of the protected classes.
This is the problem. This is if you make an aristocracy on the basis of, we used to have it on the basis of just like blood, which, you know, at least was understandable. I can follow that.
I mean, it worked a lot better than this does.
Do you know who his dad is? I mean, like, that I can follow as a human being with hierarchy and whatnot. But, like, with just an individual just being like, well, I'm a protected class because of my identity. Like, I've made in my head, I've decided I'm this, or I'm saying I'm this. This is mad. Like, I mean, the old system was mad and led to abuses of power, obviously, but this is obviously the same thing. Because if we go forward, there are then just the details. And this is what I mean by Redux, just detailing things that aren't legacy media.
I don't know. I kind of like your display of what the old aristocracy was basically, well, my dad can beat up your dad.
Well, that's no, my
that
my,
makes a lot more sense to me.
My dad's more of an aristocrat than your dad, so your dad needs to bow before my dad.
I mean, that just sounds all right to me. It sounds like laddish fun.
Yeah, but it would obviously lead to abuses of power.
Well, yeah, obviously.
But you have the same thing here. A trans student charged after reportedly assaulting two female students in the school washroom. This is Edmund High School. Cool. Redux has obtained a police report related to a violent assault that took place in a women's washroom at Edmund Memorial High School. The report, dated October 26, reveals that a trans-identified male student was handed a juvenile summons after two female students were left with injuries following a fight that reportedly happened when the trans person initiated the fight with them. The attending officer noted the female victim had several red areas on her face and both of her eyes were beginning to swell. The female student advised the officer that the trans student, who was biologically a man claiming they're a girl, or biologically a boy claiming they're a girl, indicated by the letter A, had approached her in the woman's washroom while she was speaking to friends. She explained that A had tried to talk to her and she had ignored him, at which point A began to get angry and asked if she wanted to fight while approaching her with bald fists. Very ladylike. The victim said that the trans-identified student then began to hit her in the face. She indicated in her statement that she was not strong enough to fight back. I wonder why. Due to the force of the blow, the transgender student pulled the girl's hair and forced her to the ground, at which point He began to kick her in the face and punch her repeatedly. One of the female student's friends tried to intervene, but was punched twice in the left side of the face by the assailant. I mean, this is my thing. It's just like example after example of just like, this is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
If you didn't know it was a terrible idea, now we have all the examples applied. It's a terrible idea.
I mean, the funny thing was that previously when all of this, like the trans bathroom conversation came up, mainly, what was it, like 2014, 2015, 2016, mm-hmm. around that time, you had a lot of people talking about, oh, this is just completely theoretical. Nobody's actually been hurt. Nobody's ever been done. But the argument always was, well, it may not have happened yet, but you're opening up the massive possibility for it. And now we've got empirical example after empirical example, and they still just don't care.
I mean, can you think about how mad that argument is? It's like, clearly easily preventable harm. Maybe we should do that. Yeah, but no one's been harmed yet.
That is the argument, though, but that's so it's the charade.
Like you're saying, I'm willing to see teenage girls be beaten to a pulp or sexually abused for my ideology. I mean, that is what that individual is saying. You're just thinking, you're a lunatic.
Yeah, well, no, that's always been the argument. They were just smarter about keeping it under wraps before, but now it's past the point where a lot of people can do anything about it than complain. They're just like, well, yeah, it is happening. Who cares?
Yeah, and now we live in the tragedy of liberation right here. Feel so liberated. Anyway, there's more stories. If we go to Redux again, of course. Canada, female prison guard diagnosed with PTSD after being forced to monitor a trans-identified male in a women's prison.
Oh.
This is really messed up. Thankfully, she's got compensation out of this, but they, you know, shouldn't have been here, obviously. So the female correction officer in Canada has won an employment tribunal case after she suffered mental health injury whilst being assigned to monitor a trans-identified male inmate. The plaintiff, a 55-year-old woman, who had been working in the corrections facilities for 11 years, had been assigned to monitor the inmate after he had been placed on suicide watch in December 2019. The officer immediately made her employer aware that she had mental health concerns due to childhood sexual trauma, making the task very difficult for her, understandably. Because the thing is, you don't just, like, sit and stare. Like, you have to sit at a monitor, and every 15 minutes, jot down what the inmate's up to, what they've done, which includes, as they write, going to the bathroom and masturbating. So you have to sit there and watch some man, who says they're a woman, masturbating in a women's prison. You've been working in a women's prison for 11 years, which you could deal with, but now you have to deal with someone who's in there, who's male, and you're a victim of child sexual trauma. Yeah, funnily enough, wasn't fun. While the identity of the prisoner is unknown, court documents state that he had been incarcerated in a men's institution for years. So yeah, this is Redux being like, well, we don't know if they're trans, but they were a man, and now they're in a woman's prison. I don't know why we have to write things like that. Anyway, the officer repeatedly requested, she'd be relieved of this duty and advised her managers that she felt a male officer should have been responsible for the task, considering the inmate was fully intact.
That would make the most sense to me.
No, but that phrasing, that's such a...
Well, actually, what would make the most sense would not having a man in a women's prison anyway.
I'm just thinking of the Chernobyl series, where it's like, you know, the not great, not terrible, 3.3 Rogan, whatever it was. Like the weird political correctness of like made up terms you have to use, because you can't say the real thing, because that would cause outrage. So, yeah, so this individual prisoner, they are fully intact.
Well, it's a complete denial of reality, and that's what the project we've been on for a long time has been aiming for from the outset.
Yeah. Anyway, her request was denied, and now she sued and won. Good for her. Look at the next one here. I told you it could get bad. More of it. Non-binary queer artist arrested after arranging to rape a 9-year-old. In case you're wondering, FBI. Yeah, FBI did this, so good on them.
Non-binary always falls into two categories, which is one, look at me, girl, or two, rapey man.
You're not going to go into all the details. I'm already grossed out and it gets quite sick. But basically, some FBI agent met the guy and was like, hey, I found a 9-year-old. And he was like, yeah, let's meet up. And he's like, yeah, time for jail. Go to jail.
That's all right.
Next one here is Brazil's top female gamer is trans-identified male, now being accused of sexting with a minor. Now, the thing is, I've just gone through all the headlines from Redux. It's in the order.
This is accused?
This is chronological order, is what I'm using.
Oh,
but,
right.
You know, accused. Okay, right, I'll completely bin that in the interests of pure fairness, because it's an accusation. Who cares?
It could be a false accusation.
Yeah, burn that article. Let's go to the next one, in which serial pedophile complains about being misgendered during the second arrest for child sexual predation. Okay,
this is like when Ezra Miller got arrested for trying to beat up a woman and then complained that the police officers weren't calling him they, them.
It is indeed.
Except this is much worse because this is child sex predator.
Yeah. On December 13th, Hicks was handcuffed and arrested outside his residence in Wales following a sting by volunteer predator hunters. Children's Innocent Matters had established a decoy Facebook profile presenting a 12-year-old girl. Hats off to those chaps. I think the police are actually quite happy with their work, so I think we're allowed to do that, even if he'll be moral regardless. He accused the volunteers of misgendering him, however. You're a nonce. Go to hell. And warned that by doing so, they had committed crimes against him. He says, "There you go again, misgendering. That's classified as a hate crime," Hicks says. Several times.
Okay. So, sorry, is he pulling a Uno reverse card on the arresting officers?
You're there. You're a nonce. We've caught you being a nonce. We're waiting for the police to arrive. And you're there being like, but you are transphobic.
Well, the problem is that given certain laws, was this in the UK, was it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was the UK. Do we have laws in the UK that would allow him to mount a credible defence?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
The legal system is completely topsy-turvy when a child sexual predator has an actual case against the police officers arresting him because he called him him.
He was being caused alarm and distress, would be the imagined case.
Disgusting.
Anyway, we'll get the next one here because there's endless more. This is the last one. We'll just land on this because I think you get the point, which is it's interesting to see what doesn't make the media and why I think what they're doing is a good job, but also it's just mad. I can see why some turfs are so radical, and it's probably because I read stuff like this all the time. Man who slaughtered family over gender dysphoria now marked as female in main prison system. This is horrific. A man who claimed his motivation for slaughtering his entire family was their lack of support for his transgender identity has been marked female.
Stunning and brave.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, I've seen lots of pro-trans accounts on Twitter who probably would support something like this.
Oh, yeah. Andrew Balsha over here, who goes by the name Andrea, was 1 month shy of his 18th birthday when he murdered his mother, father, and family dog on Halloween night 2016. According to the report at the time...
What did the dog do?
Andrew over here had awoken his mother and told her that he was having trouble sleeping. Alice, Balsha, asked her son if he was having a rough night and embraced him. And while she was attempting to soothe him, he stabbed her in the back 9 times, killing her. Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen. I have seen going around on... Because when I'm on Instagram, I've got lots of like friends who are leftists who I follow on Instagram. And I see some of the nonsense that they post in their stories sometimes. Have you seen the one that's... I don't know who produces these. They're infographics that I see all the time. They've always got those sort of like light purples and pinks background colors that fade into one another. You've probably seen them at some point. And it says, "Don't be your child's first bully." And it's parents clipping the rainbow flag wings of a small child. And it's literally just saying, "Don't stop us from indoctrinating your children or else." And they would probably support this sort of thing, not explicitly, but implicitly, they would absolutely support that because they were like, well, you know, they should have just supported the kids.
I think the question on anyone's sane mind is who does this?
Yeah.
Why is this kid killing people? Like, killing his family here? Is this because, well, you misgendered me? The thing is, they go on to say that he killed the dad, not only his mum. He then killed the pet chihuahua. I don't know why.
Maybe the dog barked transphobically at him?
He decided not to kill his older brother, and he said to the older brother, "It's not your time yet."
What, the older or little brother?
I think it was older. Might be little. Either way. He said, "It's not your time yet," and then let them live, which... mad. The judge refused to consider his claims of gender dysphoria as legit.
Thank God.
In the court case, saying that young people face the same struggles and it shouldn't be used as an excuse for murder. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's not a very good one, to say the least. However, even though at the time they were like, yeah, I'm not believing that. Now, he is being recorded as male in the main Department of Corrections dictionary. He is now listed as female as an inmate and has been moved to Maine's Correction Center for Women. There you have it. And that's the thing. I mean, that's the reason I went over all this is just to give us a nice big eye into the turf radicalism and the reason as to probably why, which is they're dealing with stories that don't make the legacy media. That's true. And I didn't read all these. I don't know if you'd have read all these. And that's just December.
I mean, this segment definitely isn't getting monetized on YouTube. I'd be surprised if we can even post it on YouTube, given that a lot of these seemed very Loudoun County-esque. So
these are just, you know, these are reports from the State Department or corrections facilities and so forth. Again, not judging any of the sexual aspects because we can't. But the thing is, oh boy. Yeah, I can see why these stories don't make the mainstream. That's for sure.
is a nice politically correct statement. These events taken completely out of any political context are horrific. There you go.
It's always good to learn about reality, though. And with that, we'll go to the video comments, shall we?
Happy Yalda, meaning solstice. Happy Hanukkah, and happy Christmas. Every few years, I'm asked to put out a message for the protesters in Iran. This year, I saw all the signs of a deep and widespread revolution, not just against the Islamic Republic, but within Islam itself. Any interested Lotus Eaters should check out my Substack page, Extended Essays, for my message for the women of Iran. Just search for Extended Essays on Substack.com.
I'd actually played that one before, but don't worry about it. Don't worry, it's just a small error. Oh, kittens!
Hello, Lotus Eaters. Happy Boxing Day! Did you guys have a Merry Christmas?
Oh, yeah, I had a lovely Christmas. Saw my family, had the best Christmas roast I've ever had. My dad somehow made turkey delicious. He slow roasted it for 4 hours and it wasn't dry at all. I know that's one of the big complaints everyone gives about turkey, but it's amazing. Had a lovely time.
Yeah. We had turkey and duck, and that duck is so good. And I
I've never had duck before.
I have it for Christmas, honestly. I know like rich people have goose here. I don't know how much that is.
Well, do they just go down the local park and just grab some? You look like a fine specimen.
Do you not know about that? Like, it's the old, like, aristocracy Christmas dinner is goose, not turkey.
That sounds weird.
Yeah, I know, right? But anyway, duck, much better.
Bloody fancy rich toffs.
Yeah, next one.
And they're geese.
Hey, guys. So, on Saturday, Christmas Eve, we got a ruling from a judge concerning the Kerry Lake, Arizona governor trial. And he ruled against Kerry Lake, and we learned two things from this trial. One, that we cannot trust our elections. It's not possible to have 300,000 ballots show up without chain of custody and just go, okay. And two, our courts will do nothing about it.
Yeah, I heard about that as well. I think Kerry Lake was bringing up potential election fraud. Are we allowed to talk about that now? We're off YouTube?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. She was bringing up election fraud and trying to do something regarding... You're right? You're right.
Yep.
We're not starting again. Nope. This isn't the snowball, nope. Is it?
Someone in chat was like, that's him. That's Cock and Balls 123. We found him.
We done it, boys.
I'm sorry, lads.
No, I saw the Kerry Lake stuff. And yeah, the problem as far as I can see it, Josh, is looking into it. I spoke about the book the other day when I was on with Dan a few weeks ago. I don't know if you've read it, but you should read The Age of Entitlement if you haven't already. It's just... the American legal system, and as a result, the UK legal system, having, through the Blair years, tried to copy a lot of civil rights legislation, is just completely set up against anything, any resistance, really. It's all set up in the favor of leftist progressive causes, just as a rule, as far as I can tell. Obviously, you've got more experience in it, given that you operate within it, but that's what I can see.
I'd just be Machiavellian. Like, I do imagine... at some point. I mean, if the American right takes it on as to do that, basically the thing's all rigged, in which case they would presumably, the correct response is, okay, well, if you can't beat them, join them. And I wonder what happens then.
Well, no, I think the actual, as far as I can tell, from, and this is only very early formulations, so don't take this as gospel from me, but from what I can see, the right needs more general organization to agitate in the sort of way, in the Saul Alinsky manner that the left has done, with sort of good leadership pushing causes that we support. And we also need lawyers. We need lots of lawyers on our side so that we can fight back and mount legal challenges against the laws that prevent us from doing those sorts of things. Because if you wanted to do like a right-wing Saul Alinsky style organization, yeah, you're going to get equal rights laws, you're going to get affirmative action laws, you're going to get hate speech laws, all these sorts of things thrown against you. So we need massive amounts of legal power on our side.
It is definitely true that the law department has way more power than you ever think. Michael, I happen to have sent you a certain YouTube channel who goes by the name
Cock and Ball 123.
Yeah, no, it's just
are you about to play me a clip
from Bronson? Yeah.
Oh, all right, okay. Probably... well, you were laughing about it long enough, so might as well.
That's
all right. Okay.
Let's hope everyone can hear this at home as well.
After that, I've got another Jilly Cooper. How you get on without Udira's wins then? Really,
shut your fucking mouth! Shut the fuck up, you cunt! Shut it!
Anyway.
Yeah, I need to watch the film.
Sorry about the swearing, but good film.
Ah, it's fine.
But guess what he does next?
Beats the shit out of the guy?
No. He has him sit down, and then he calls the governor. He's like, I've got your hostage here. And just messes with him. He's like, what do you want? And he says, well, what have you got? And he says, well, it's up to you, isn't it? And he just goes... hangs up, pulls out some Vaseline, strips off, gives the Vaseline to Andy Love over there.
Okay.
And he goes, put it on me.
Oh my goodness.
Vaselines him up and then puts it on his butt and he's like, faster, faster, faster! Stop it, sit down! And he's like, right.
This is quite different from your sales pitch of Love Actually.
Yeah, it's a whole different movie.
Yeah.
But the whole reason he's Vaselined himself up and stripped off nude is just because he knows like the riot police are about to come in and he just wants to have a fight.
Oh, he just wants to scrap.
It's just childlike innocence. He's just like, well, you know, I've tried to cause trouble and get a fight. That didn't work. So now, Vaseline up. Let's go.
Here we go. All right. Let's go on to the written comments, eh?
Okay.
Before Callum starts to get too into the role, you know?
I see why it's called that now, because that's the next scene. He strips off. Anyway. Mystery solved. The channel name. There we are. 1, 2, 3. Rue the Day says, greetings to all who came out fatter on the other side. Now off to take responsibility for our bodies again in January, of course. Did you?
What?
Take in the gorging?
Oh, well, one of the things that you get a lot at Christmas is chocolate, and you can't just let it go to waste, can you?
No, it's not like it lasts a couple of years in the cupboard.
No. I mean, well, the problem
perishes immediately.
No. The problem, Callum, is, and I don't know, you've probably heard this line of logic before. You've probably used it before, which is, if I don't eat it now, then it's going to sit in my cupboard, acting as temptation for me every time I open the cupboard in the future. So it's best just to remove the temptation now and eat the whole thing.
No. But okay.
No, it makes sense to me. What do you think, Michael? Does that sound like sound logic?
Copium.
Yeah, there you go. See? I've got Michael on my side. What are you going to do now?
All right, Lord Nerevar says, the question remains, is this a case of French importation of African culture or Africans properly assimilating into French culture?
That's a good question.
Touché, Lord. Omar Watt says, I'm shocked nobody has managed to link the burning of Paris to climate change. If only they had a lot of things written out. Don't know what that's about.
Yeah, we've got something crossed out here, so let's move on.
I think we're allowed to read that, Omar. Keep up the good posts.
Naughty boy, Omar.
Colin P says, and how many French people were killed by Kurds in that period? Well, to be fair, I don't think the Kurds are killing many French people. It's not the Kurds. My memory serves me correctly. The most dangerous... Oh, God, how do I word this so I get arrested?
Come on.
The most likely candidate for recruitment at Islamic State Incorporated... is a
LLC.
Is you'll take some gentlemen. It doesn't have to be from Pakistan. It could be from anywhere. But Pakistan is a beautiful place. If they move to Europe and then they settle down, their children are the most perfect candidates for that company, and are most frequently used and most successful in being recruited to do such terrible actions. And I don't believe that many of those are Kurds.
I too have seen such ONS employing statistics. Whew. There we go. We got through that one. Razor's edge.
Shaker Silver says, I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas.
You too.
Seems like somebody didn't want the French to have a merry time. Yeah. If only there was something that could be done to prevent these extremist attacks on both ends. I was talking about Avatar 2 earlier.
Yeah, Callum was going on a few weeks ago about how based Love Actually was. Now he's going on about how based Avatar 2 was.
I don't know what the politics of Bronson is.
Is there a political message that you can take from that scene you just showed me other than pure anarchy?
I think the fundamental question, Michael, you've seen Bronson, right? No.
That was a no.
Bugger, I'm the only weirdo. Right, the chat scene Bronson. I think the only question you could get out of the whole thing is just, what do we do with prisoners who we know we just can't put in society? Because the whole thing with Bronson is he loves prison. Loves it.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, that is the thing. He's been married a few times while in prison, hasn't he?
Yeah, and they're just like, he hates being in the loony house because that's no fun. Whereas being in prison, that's your arena and whatnot. And then the question sort of poses, well, what do you do with those guys? Because those guys exist. I mean, I know his character type is a very extreme version of that.
Yeah, you'll remember from Breaking Bad, there's the character that they use at one point to send to prison instead of Walt, purely because the guy loves going to prison. They just pay him some money, it takes care of his family, and he just gets to go to prison because he loves it there.
Yeah. Except, like, this guy's not just, you know, having a good time. He's just, he's mental.
Yeah.
Like, you can't even have him around other prisoners. Like, it's just, oh dear. Yeah, because that's a statistic. It's like, you know, half of all people are lower than average IQ. That's a problem. But then you get 70 IQ. You can't serve in the military. Like, we can't even have you doing just checkpoints in the US military.
We can't have him at the airports.
I mean, like, anyone in the military who served in the military, the most grunt of grunt things, like, someone of that IQ cannot even do that. And that percentage of the American public is like 15% or something. Well, what do you do with them?
Well, is Bronson just low IQ or is he just mental?
He's mental, but like Bronson
doesn't seem like a stupid guy.
Sure, but he's another, you know, couple of percent of the public where it's just like, you can't.
They're just absolutely nuts.
You can't really have these people, and what to do with them is the question.
I feel like if we were still in the Empire days, we would have a place for such nut jobs.
Yeah, we would.
We absolutely would. But I do need to watch Bronson. I think it's the same director who did like Drive and a bunch of films like that. I did watch, seeing as we're talking about films right now, you're the one that started this, so I get to carry it on.
Got a few minutes.
I did watch a really good film on last Friday night that I wanted to see in the cinema but didn't get to catch, but it was on streaming then. By the same guy as In Bruges. You've watched In Bruges, right? Have you not seen In Bruges?
Oh, what?
Have you seen In Bruges,
am I
Michael?
Confusing the name?
In Bruges is the film, two Irish hitmen. One of them kills a kid by accident, so they get sent by their boss to Bruges to lay low for a while, whereas the boss really just wants the hitman who didn't kill a kid to kill the other one quietly. But he's sent them to Bruges because he's like, it's a fairy tale, magical town, and he can enjoy his last weekend alive in this wonderful place, except he's really miserable and suicidal because he killed a kid. So there's a hilarious scene where the guy who's trying to kill him comes up behind him, pulls a gun on him, except the guy pulls a gun on himself as well at the same time, because he's like, I just want to die, just kill me. He's like, if you kill yourself, I'll bloody shoot you in the head. I swear, it's hilarious. It's great. But I watched this film called The Banshees of Inisherin over the weekend. It's really good. I'd recommend it. It's set during the Irish Civil War, tiny little island off the coast of Ireland. No diversity whatsoever. It's literally just as you would expect in a Civil War Irish film. It's great. This tiny community, everybody knows each other, everybody's bored constantly, and they all just spend all day at the pub. And Colin Farrell, the main character, he goes to his friend's house, tries to get him to come to the pub. His friend just ignores him. So he goes to the pub, and then the guy shows up later and just ignores him again. And eventually he gets it out of him. He's like, why are you ignoring me? He's just like, we've been friends for our entire lives. What's gone on here? And he just goes, just don't like you anymore. Just don't want to be friends with you anymore. And the film is just escalating from there and there and there. It's in the trailer, so it won't spoil anything to tell you. At one point, the guy who doesn't want to be friends with him anymore just comes to him in the pub and just goes, listen, you keep bothering me, all right? I want you to stop bothering me. To get you to stop bothering me, here's what I'll do. I've got shears at my house. If you bother me again, I will cut my finger off and give it to you. Every time you bother me, I will keep cutting my fingers off, okay? So leave me alone. And it just goes wild from there. It's a really good film, if you get the chance to watch it.
That's a hell of a risk, because like, if you meet a maniac, he's going to be like, go on, then.
Well, that's the thing is, though, he's been friends with him his whole life, and literally his whole reason for going, oh, I don't like you anymore, is he's just like, a bit dull, though, aren't you?
Suppose with that, we shall move to the... The nurse comments.
Yes. Ignacio Junqueira. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but I'm assuming I am.
Filthy Spaniard. All right. Oh, he knows that's a joke.
Paying subscriber. Gracious paying subscriber, no, Ignacio.
Ever since I've seen Ignacio's name pop up, we've always had problems where I've been like, Mr. Yconquera.
Mr. Conquistador.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Ignacio.
For God's sakes.
Says, regarding nurses and medical staff striking, I have no sympathy anymore for them. It might be different, but I live in Madrid, apparently the better funded and with shorter waiting times in Spain, and yet the public health workers are striking yet again because they have no funding. Unsurprisingly, it has come out that these grassroots movements are organized by commies and socialists. That's what I mean when I say I don't have any problem with strikes in theory, but they turn into rackets. It'll always be the people in the top brass of these unions are going to end up being socialists or communists.
They're literally at Labour conference.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so most of those unions, I saw their reps stand up and tell us about trans rights, and it's like,
yeah, so they're led by absolute mentalists. But the problem is, like I said, with the NHS, it seems that the whole no funding thing is basically just a grift so that the managers can constantly just say, we need more money, and then they pay it to themselves. I mean, that's all of this.
Human nature.
That's the diversity and equity and inclusion BS anyway, isn't it? They go, we need more money, and then they get more money, and they go, oh, thank you very much. I was hoping for a holiday this year. That's what they do. So the nurses on the front lines might actually be underpaid. I mean, it seems like it. They do occupy an important position, and they probably think, to a certain extent, they're joining the union to do, you know, strike action and industrial action like this, just for the sake of, you know, workers' rights and such. But there's always bad people behind these, sadly. He carries on just saying, I've already missed two appointments without any warning, fortunately for nothing serious. And that's good. That's the whole Peter Hitchens point, which is that nurses should get paid what they're worth, but they shouldn't strike because it will hurt people. Someone online says Callum versus Cock and Balls 1-2-3. I think Cock and Balls won.
Yeah, I definitely think Cock and Balls won.
Lord Nerevar saying,
you better be subscribed to our channel after this.
Saying, Lord Nerevar says, I get that being a nurse is difficult, but the hyperbole on display is crazy. Everyone on less than 26k uses food banks. Get real. Also, Cock and Balls Lamau. I feel like if there's anything that's going to be taken away from that segment, it wasn't anything that I said. It's going to be you laughing for 5 minutes about cock and balls.
It's just such a funny name. It's the 1-2-3 that's perfect.
Yeah, 1-2-3.
Like, well, I wanted, you know, just on its. Well, someone's taken cock and balls.
Damn, someone stole cock
someone's
and balls
taken
from
cock
me.
Cock and balls 2. I don't know. That'd be cock and balls 64. That sounds silly.
Cock and balls 69-420. Damn, someone's got that as well.
I bet someone does. Let me check.
Almost certainly. Mm-hmm. While you do that, FreeWill2112 says, I thought preventing people from getting a job based on the skin color was racism. So what are the traitor Tories doing about this? Nothing, no surprise there then. Well, you said they're traitor Tories and they're just living up to it. Kevin Fox, if NHS dentists want more pay, 50 quid for an emergency NHS dental appointment, that... It's not taken, is it?
It's available.
It's available. All right. So if you
the
can
race
get
is
to,
on.
If you can get to it before Callum can, Callum might have to start a second channel.
I think it's probably like fifth.
Oh, fifth channel. All right. Then why don't they do like the Japanese bus drivers? They didn't go on strike because it would be bad for the public, so they kept working but didn't collect fares from passengers. That's quite smart. So dentists just treat for people for free like they used to. That's quite smart because, like I said, I brought up, I understand that people should be paid more, people should be paid what they're worth, and strike action can be one way to get that, but it's difficult when it's a really important position within society, like healthcare workers and such. So what would be the options otherwise? And I don't know what nurses would have, but dentists, that's not a bad idea. FreeWill2112, well, various different types of parasites are sucking the West dry, corrupt politicians, greedy robber barons, minority victimhood grifters. If the lesson of history teaches us anything, it's that this cannot go on forever. There is a finite amount that can be consumed, and then there'll be a collapse, the like of which most people have only seen in a Hollywood apocalypse movie. Yeah, sadly, I can't really deny that I do feel like a collapse of some form or another is going to come within our lifetimes. But let's move on to the next one, to Redux.
All right, that's going to be fun. Kevin Fox says, in the school playground, my mum's harder than your dad. Begs the question, why are the mothers getting erections in the school playground? that's actually going to be a conversation. Mm. I do remember when being homosexual became more normal, and my brother had the most funny comeback. Wasn't true, because it doesn't apply to our family, but I can't remember. I think Jimmy Carr probably made it up, actually. Maybe he took it from him. Anyway.
No, I know what you're doing. Is it the Frankie Boyle? My
dad's, it's like, my dad will beat up your dad. Yeah, well, my dad was gay and my dad will bum your dad and your dad will enjoy it.
Yeah, that's the Frankie Boyle
classic
one. That was great.
Classic.
Fantastic.
FreeWill2112 says, don't forget the fantastical ideologue always thinks their religion is more important than any other consideration. They don't really care about people. They only care about the tenets of their beliefs. Sophie Left Peterson says, but what about my human rights? They are in prison. They no longer have human rights. They forfeited that right when they committed a horrible crime. I don't care about their feelings anymore. You know, I mean, you have a duty of care. That's true. I don't feel the duty of care extends to... Well, no. Let me walk that back. You have a duty of care, and you violate that by putting a man with a woman in a woman's prison.
Yes. I think the duty of care should just extend as far as feed them and don't beat them up for no reason.
Well, you don't put them in violent situations, which is the argument of, like, why I can't be in a male prison because I'm transgender and the men will beat me up. Which is, like, you know, you can take that on the face of it and be like, okay, well, that's a reasonable argument. Well, the reasonable solution to that is a separate prison. Like, Supermax, for example.
Like, we already have.
Like, I think it's Supermax or, like, Supermax. I don't know. American prison system. But I remember seeing a documentary.
They've got to supersize the prisons.
Oh, yeah. For, like, the actual, like, mental people. The kinds who will eat their own feces or just fight everyone constantly.
The Bronsons.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not well. Mental and the Bronson. Bronson's pretty like you can deal with him.
Oh, right. Okay. You can deal with the Bronson. These are a whole different level.
Yeah, these guys. I remember seeing a documentary on them, and they're in like the middle of nowhere, and they just have a cell to themselves, and are just monitored 24/7, and that's the requirement. That you can't do any less. Otherwise, you're gonna end up with death on your hands.
Yeah. So, makes sense.
Omar Alvod says the only pronouns pedophile needs is wood and chipped. All this completely avoidable violence, I have to think officially disavow that for legal reasons, comes down to sarcastic enforcement. Imagine if we lived in a world where these people are treated how they need to be. I do agree that the death penalty needs adjusting, but I cannot advocate for it being done manually. Omar Awad says, the bar to becoming trans has plunged into the floor. When you're facing the harshest penalties a civil, not theft society has available, how much motivation does a rapist really need to LARP in front of a judge for a few minutes?
Is it in Scotland? I know they've got the self-ID laws. They've reduced those down to 16 years old now in Scotland, haven't they?
Yeah.
Fun.
I'm not going to read any more about the rapist, so I'm just going to read Colin's, which is, hope you all had a great Christmas.
Hey!
We'll end on that note instead.
And, well, Dr. Ziggy asked me if I'm worried that Indiana Jones 5 will be awful, or maybe there's some hope it will at least be okay. No, it's going to suck. It's going to suck.
Go and watch Avatar 2. It's a good movie. Anyway, actually, though, it's like really dadist. I kind of want to make Carl watch it, just to make him do a video on it. I think it'll. But he kind of hates the blue.
Well, I know that in Indiana Jones 4, Shia LaBeouf turned out to be his son. Maybe it's time to revisit that and see, give it a dadist interpretation.
Anyway, we're out of time. If you'd like more from us, blazers.com. Otherwise, tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Tip of the hat. Thank you, and goodbye.